You can just look up here. If you're out there in podcast land, you'll have to look at your own Bible. Now, after all the beautiful waterfalls, if someone needs to jump up and go to the restroom, we understand. That was very pretty. Obviously, it was a quote from one of David's Psalms about a broken spirit and a contrite heart. So, I forgot an announcement, and everybody in podcast land is going to hear that, and that's we still need some people to sign up for goodies in November. November and December. The sign-up is behind Ginger back there. And I just learned something encouraging, that Ginger calls to remind you the week. So if you worry about that, that's you can take that off your plate. Ginger will call and remind you that this is your week. And I got a chance to look at the refreshments out there, and there are cookies and some really nice muffins that are going to be good and crumbly, so be very careful. Keep them on your plate. All right, enough of that. We're in Luke chapter 14. You guys thought we'd never make it to chapter 14, but we have. And we're into a very important section of Luke that you start getting unique material that only Luke has in his investigation. Remember, this all started in chapter 1 where he told Theophilus, I carefully investigated these things. And we talked about when he had a chance to be in Palestine and who he had a chance to talk to. And then we're going to get into the book of Acts when he continues on the story for Theophilus to explain why this man, Paul, is sitting in prison in Rome awaiting trial. So when you get unique stuff, stuff that Luke has put in, you ask yourself, why? Why is that in there? Why did he go out of his way to put this one in here? Mark didn't do it. Matthew didn't do it. And of course, John's a whole different story, right? So these give you insights to his audience and what he's trying to paint as far as the picture of Jesus. So we're going to look at another banquet. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 1, he says, one Sabbath. Now, remember, we got Jesus on the way to Jerusalem. And somebody asked and said, hey, there's a lot going on while he's on his way to Jerusalem. Well, we don't know how long that journey is, but we know he's been to the Mount of Transfiguration, and he's on his way to Jerusalem. And he's going through villages, and he sent out the 72 to prepare his way and all that. But this could be a story from that situation or a story that Luke stacked on top of another story. Because he says the same thing about the oxen and the donkey. And it may have reminded Luke in that situation. But there's something about this story that we're going to read that brings on parables that are unique to Luke. So in chapter 14, it says, one Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat at the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. Okay, we know Sabbath is Saturday. Not supposed to work on Saturday. Not supposed to cook, not supposed to clean, not supposed. How in the world can you have a banquet? Well, the rich folks had figured out a way, and they had rules they could do about how to heat up food and how they couldn't heat up food so they could have banquets because nobody worked on Saturday. What a great day to have a banquet, right? And this guy was good at it. He was a prominent Pharisee. And he was known, obviously, for having banquets. And Jesus was invited, but they were watching him. Remember, he said that earlier. They've been watching him to see what he would do and say. And so we're going to kind of get this picture of what's going on at this banquet. He says, there in front of him, talking about Jesus, was a man suffering from dropsy. Now, that's a word that we don't use very often anymore. I had to look it up to make sure I knew what I was talking about. Dropsy was the word they would use for the gathering of liquids in the body. Swelling. Parts of your body are swelling. Usually we would look at it and say, well, the heart isn't working well, or the liver's not working well, or the kidneys aren't working well. Something's going on, right? But it can be painful. But most of the time it was visible. And obvious. And that's interesting to know because this guy either he's been invited to this banquet or not. Either he is seated across from Jesus on purpose, or maybe he got moved down, because we're going to look at the next parable that Jesus tells. Maybe his condition was something that degraded him as far as how important he was to have this banquet. Now ask yourself, why do people throw banquets? Who do you invite? You know, there are some people that are very good at this, and they invite influential people, people that will help them get ahead of whatever their agenda, what they want to have done, where they want to be, their social climbing or something. Who do you invite to a banquet? Especially since it's so expensive, it's so strange to have it on the Sabbath. But these people had it. Let me tell you something. Because Jesus is going to tell a parable. He's going to tell a parable. And we know what a parable is, a story they can all relate to that has a spiritual meaning, right? And this is a story that's only in Luke. But I heard stories, since I've been down here, about golf. I can't relate to golf. I'm not a golfer. But I had a friend that says, you know, most business deals aren't made in the meeting rooms. They're made on the golf course. Who do you golf with? Who do you invite? Who do you pay the green fees for? Okay, all right. So this is what we're thinking about. He's got this party going on. He's prominent, and he's invited influential people. And Jesus is invited. And Jesus went, which is kind of astounding, because in the last chapter, Luke just came out and called the Pharisees his opponents, right? But Jesus went. Hey, how do you turn down a good meal? You know? But he's seated across from somebody who has a visible problem and probably in pain because of it. Is this a setup? Is this a trap? It's possible. Because here's what happens. Jesus says, in verse 3, so Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts of the law, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? This is the question that's gone on. This is actually the fifth healing that we have of Jesus doing on the Sabbath. And it caused trouble every time. So he said, is it lawful or not? Have you guys figured this out? Guess what? They remain silent. We're not going to take a stance one way or another on this thing, but we're watching you. He says, so, taking hold of the man, I don't know what that looked like. What did it mean? Did he help him up? Did he help him sit down? Was he having trouble moving on his own? Taking hold of the man, he says, he healed him and sent him away. Why did he send him away? Is he going to miss out on that meal? Man, they were just about to serve chicken. Well, there's going to be some problems going on. Jesus knows there's going to be some problems, and this guy's not going to be part of the problem. He's not going to have to suffer from being healed. And then Jesus says the same thing he said before in verse 5. He says, then he asked them, if one of you has a son or an ox, it's an upgrade from the donkey or the ox, isn't it? Okay. A son or ox that falls into the well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull him out? And they had nothing to say. Because the answer is yes. You gotta say, hey, Junior, stay down there. I'll come get you tomorrow. Yeah. Okay. And this leads into a unique parable. He says in verse 7, when he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, I wonder where Jesus was. I wonder where he was at the table, at the place of honor, least honor, most honor. Why was he seated across from somebody who had dropsy? Any rate, he says here, when someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this man your seat. Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. I'm going to a wedding. I get to help pay for the rehearsal dinner. I hope there's not a seating chart. I hear people spend a lot of time and energy wrestling over seating charts, who's going to be at what table and all that stuff, right? I hope it's a buffet. Mostly because I'm paying for half of it. A lot of thought goes into this stuff. People are humiliated or honored. Was Jesus humiliated or honored? We don't know. Yeah, probably not. But how many of the apostles did he get to bring? None? Three? 12? Did you bring the 72? No. This is getting out of hand, right? But Jesus was there, and he noticed that there was this shuffling around and a lot of thought going into who is the most important person here. Well, what makes somebody important? What they can do for you. That's what makes them important, especially in these kind of situations. He says, let me give you a hint. Start at the bottom. Start at the bottom, and then the host will say, no, man, come sit up over here. And he may have to move somebody who will be humiliated, and they have to, you know, play chairs. Can you imagine? Oh, I left my glass over there. I drank out of that. Who's important to you? Who's important to this person? Was the man with dropsy, was he important? Was he important enough to have Jesus heal him? Even though it was the Sabbath, and you may have some theological issues with that? And then he tells another story. Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, and your relatives, or your rich neighbors. Guess who was probably invited to this banquet? I probably have the guest list right there. He said, don't do that. He says, if you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Wow. How important are the lame, the poor, the blind? These are people that the Pharisees didn't want to hang around with. Because in their theology, they must have done something wrong in order to be blind, or to be lame, or to be poor. They must have done something wrong. And you don't see Jesus following that line of thought at all. Jesus says, they are just as important. Matter of fact, for you, they are even more important. Because what you do for them is not going to be a give and take thing. It's not going to be, I give this to you so that you can pay me back. Are we going to invite those folks for Christmas? I don't know. We haven't been invited to their party. Why do we invite people? Why do we value some people over others? Who does Jesus value? Yeah, the blind. Does he value the Pharisees? Yes. This is hard for us to understand. Even though they call him opponents, does he hate them? No, he does not hate them. He values them because they are people created in the image of God. The same way he values you. Now, sometimes we need to take this into the theological world, okay? Because sometimes we think that we have this give and take with God. That, yes, we give because God gives back. We give in order to have influence with God. We do things for God because he needs us on his side. No. In this scenario, you and I are the poor, the blind, the lame. We are the ones that don't have a chance to pay God back. Are we still invited to the banquet? Yeah, we are. And guess what? There's going to be another parable. Okay, here we go. In verse 15, when one of those at the table heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Because the Pharisees had this in common with Jesus. They knew that there was a life after this life, right? Does this man, is he thinking about heaven, or is he thinking about when God's kingdom is reestablished on earth? We don't know. But you know, there's always somebody at the table who's going to try to diffuse tension. And maybe you're one of those. Because things are tense here. Jesus has asked them several questions, and they are silent. Is this going to affect the dessert? So somebody's going to defuse the situation. Well, blessed is a man who eats in the kingdom of the banquet in the kingdom of God. And Jesus isn't going to let him get away with that. Because Jesus is going to bring on another story. He says, Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet, invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.'" You knew the banquet was coming. You've been invited a long time ago. And now it's happening. And of course, in this scenario, we're talking about the people who have been listening to Yahweh since the times of the Old Testament, knowing that something as big is going to happen, knowing that there's going to be a great banquet, waiting for it. And Jesus said, "No, it's here. It's here." And guess what? Jesus is going to say, "It's here." He said, but verse 18, they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said, "I just bought a field. I must go and see it. Please excuse me." Oh man, I love this one. This is the possession excuse, right? By the way, is that field going to be there next week? Is it going to go anywhere? Next month, is it going to be there? Is this a good excuse? But now I own something. It's a thing. And I got to go play with it now. It's a possession. And yeah, I know you've been talking about this banquet for a long time, but I got to go look at my new field. Got a great deal on it. Another said, "I just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." Wow, what do you use oxen for? Well, you use them for plowing fields. This is work. This is the work excuse, man. Right? Do you think this one guy can use 5 yoke of oxen by himself? Isn't he going to need 4 other people to do that? Why does he have to be there to run the 5th yoke? But you know, sometimes work is so, so, so important to us. It's the most important thing to us. That's a weird thing to say in a retirement community. But there was a time in your life, maybe, right? So, there's another excuse. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. You don't want to check it out with a little lady and, you know, a little woman, see if it's okay. Can he not bring his new wife? This is a relationship excuse, by the way. It's a silly excuse. Are you not going to be married next week? Or the week after that? Why not come to the banquet? So the person who gave the invitation can see through all those excuses. He said, the servant came back and reported this to the master. The owner of the house became angry because he was hurt. It's painful. The stuff is silly excuses, and they don't want to come to my banquet. He says, he ordered a servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And so they go out and do that. He says, sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told the servant, go out into the roads and the county lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you that not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. By the way, are they still invited? Yes. Can they show up? Yes. But they won't. Will the food go to waste? No. No. So what's that got to do with us? Well, we're the poor, the blind, and the lame again. We're the ones that are invited to something that the Jewish nation had been looking for so long. We're invited. Everybody's invited. Everybody. Can we pay back the person giving the wedding back? No. No. What's Jesus telling this audience at this prominent Pharisee's house who invited him on a Sabbath day for a banquet, who either set him up or did not set him up to cure a man with dropsy? What's Jesus telling them? That man was important. Much more important than your little banquet. So what's that mean for us? Do you feel that important? That's what Jesus wants you to feel. He wants you to know that what he's going to do as he gets to Jerusalem, what he's going to do when he lays down his life is for you. Can you pay him back? No. But you can feel loved. You can feel cared for. You can have a great time at the banquet. You can have a really, really, really great time at the banquet. Because it's ready. It's paid for. And as we look at taking the Lord's Supper, and we do this every week, because we believe it's a unifying thing for all believers, because we all come the same to the table, the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. We come and we remember what Jesus did for us. And it's not really a feast per se, because you just get a little tiny piece. You got it in your hand, a little plastic bag, right? And just a little bit of juice, but it reminds you. There's a textile, you feel it, you touch it, you taste it, you smell it, to remind you that Jesus had a body. And he paid the price so you could be at the banquet. Because you are that important. We're going to sing a song before we take the Lord's Supper. It talks about breaking bread on our knees. My knee is still not in good enough shape to get down there. And neither is yours. No, I don't know. Maybe it is. But the idea of being humbled, the idea of this is something that we can't repay. This is something that's given to us. So we're going to break bread together on our knees. So let's listen to that, and we prepare for the Lord's Supper.
Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Let us drink wine together on our knees, let us drink.
So, you've scored an invite to the banquet. Everybody who believes Jesus is Lord is invited to do this with us. And it's great to see folks coming back from being away all winter and feeling united with them and knowing that we are united with all believers in doing this. So, everyone who believes Jesus is Lord, please feel free to partake. The Bible tells us on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this as often as you do it in memory of me." And then after supper, he took the cup and he said, "This is the new covenant, the new testament, the new agreement in my blood shed for you. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Now we're going to ask one of our elders to bless the elements for us.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for paying the price and remembering us so that we could come to your banquet. Amen.
Amen. Please remove your sanitary communion supplies from your little bag, and don't throw the bag away because we're going to use it here in a second. Please remove the small end and have access to the wafer. Ooh, I got two. Anybody need one? Remember the body of Jesus. And please carefully turn it over and gently remove the top so you have access to the juice. Remember the blood of Jesus. please carefully put it back in the bag. Now is the one time that we think about our knees as we all try to stand together, those of us who are able, as we are going to thank God for the contribution, and we're going to sing the doxology. So please stand with me.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. His Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let's be thankful. God, we are so grateful for what you've given us. We have no way of paying back. Father, we've brought gifts. And Father, we pray that you would use these gifts so people could know about Jesus. And Father, we pray that you bless every generous heart here that has chosen to give a portion of what you've given them. Lord, bless this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get to go out and have some fellowship and coffee and our iced tea. You can have them both if you want. Cookies and our muffins. We're going to have the doxology, the benediction, which literally means good words. And every week we focus on having the courage to keep our eyes on Jesus. So please bow with me for the benediction. God, give us the energy. Give us the courage. Give us the wisdom to keep our eyes and our hearts and our minds fixed on Jesus all week long so we can live a life that's a worship. And Father, give us insights and wisdom and how to know how to encourage and build each other up now as we go back and we join the rest of the world and all the things going on. We pray this for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in peace. Don't put